everybody. Welcome back to the 114th episode of The Manor Podcast. I'm your co-host, Roger Bode, joined as always with my best friend and other co-host, Michael Hamilton. Michael, you're feeling okay, right? You're okay? You're good? You're feeling healthy?
Yeah, I'm a little worn out. I did a lot of hiking today, actually, but okay. I'm good. Why?
Previous to this, I've spent the past 48 hours feeling horrible. Horrendous. And we hung out over the weekend, so I wanted to make sure I didn't get you sick. I don't know what it was. I think it was something called walking pneumonia, where like you're just really congested and you can't breathe and all that good stuff. And so, yeah, so I want to make sure that you were good.
Yeah, I feel like fine, thankfully. I'm sorry to hear about your rough time. I remember you messaged me a few days ago, like you weren't feeling well, but I didn't know the extent of it. And that sucks.
Yeah, I went to bed at the late hour of 6 p.m. on Sunday night. I was like, at 6 p.m., I'm out of energy. I need to sleep now, immediately. So I just slept from 6 p.m. to 7 a.m. And then I've been working from home over the past couple of days.
That's a lot of hours of sleep.
I was very tired. And so this is the first. Thankfully, I woke up this morning super congested. And through the magic of decongestants, I can only sound mildly congested and can function by just doing things like every once in a while. But I'll edit that out.
Okay, good. When you started talking, I'm like, is that the right mic? And I'm like, the sound quality is good. It's just you're a little, I can hear it in your voice.
Mm-hmm. I got a bunch of congestion floating around still. But you know what? I'll take just some mild congestion over not having any energy and my throat hurt really badly for a while. I couldn't even eat food. I skipped a couple of meals because it just hurt too bad to eat for like a day. But wow. Got over it pretty quickly, I guess. So that's good.
That is good.
And it was a good time to get painful. Sick. Because I'd rather get sick now. This way I can't get sick for the next month now. And yeah. I'm a month away from Osaka.
Yeah, true. That is exactly how that works. Once you have been sick, you cannot get sick again for a set amount of time. That definitely is how it works.
That's 100% how it works.
Yep. Osaka's coming up soon.
Yeah. I need to message the person who I bought my PTI from and ask if I can get my money back.
What? That's I.
Can you do that? Can I get a PTI refund?
You're not looking forward to this tournament?
Do you know what the yips are? Have you ever heard of the term of the yips?
No, what are the yips?
It's just a term it comes from baseball where somebody just can't hit a ball anymore or they can't pitch anymore. They just all of a sudden, it's like they're the worst player that's ever touched a baseball all of a sudden. And they're just in a funk. And I feel like that with card games at the moment. I just feel like I have the card game yips. Like I don't feel like I can draft. I don't feel like I can play the draft games. I don't feel like I have a good grasp on what I want to play in Classic Constructed. And I don't feel like I could play the games well in Classic Constructed. So from top to bottom, I'm not looking forward to the flesh and blood aspect of my trip to Osaka. But you know what? If nothing else, it'll be a fun hangout time.
Yeah, it will be a fun hangout time. I've been in situations like that before where I feel like I'm losing a lot. And in general, I've always found the best thing to do in spots like that is just like take a break. Don't play for a week or two.
There's only like 3 weeks before Osaka.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes you just need a fresh head. It's better than just jamming your head against the wall and not getting.
Well, I really need a fresh head because my current head's all congested up.
There you go. Take a week, play some Balatro or something, get the real world's prep in.
Yeah. So let's talk about what I'm so unconfident in. I guess there's one thing that I can be confident in, though.
What's that?
It's that Counts Your Blessings sucks.
Why is that?
I just don't think it's a good strategy in the Classic Constructed format. I think it's a fine tier, like a C tier strategy, and that if you are looking to play that particular type of fatigue strategy, I think it hits the exact note that Ryan Gottlieb has stated in the past, where they want fatigue to be viable, but not a tier one strategy. And I think Count Your Blessings hit that note perfectly, where it's viable. It is a game plan that you can enact, and it makes sense, and it's coherent, and it will go for that long, fatigue-y strategy, but it is nowhere near the best and most powerful things you could be doing in the format.
Yeah, I think it might be a little bit closer to being tier one than you think. I don't think it's the best thing you can be doing in the format, but it did get second place at the Battle Hardened in Milwaukee. Is that where it was?
No.
It did not?
A Count Your Blessings deck did, but a Count Your Blessings fatigue deck, that was not.
Sure. It was like Count Your Blessings combo Verdance.
Yes. Yeah. That's okay. Different.
Okay. And then there was also a Count Your Blessings Enigma that I believe made top eight of the calling, I think.
Yeah.
And then lost to a regular Enigma list because life gain, not good against Enigma. Who knew?
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah, I think that Count Your Blessings it's turning out to just be a better card than I expected, but Hard Fatigue is not. I don't think it's ever been the best strategy in Flesh and Blood. And probably never will be.
Sure. Okay. But I guess there's still people calling for emergency bans of Count Your Blessings, and I think that's very silly. I mean, if we're going to emergency ban anything, it's just going to be Kraken Aetherbeam.
Clean transition. That card is gone from Living Legend. When we were doing our tier list episode, we got to Verdant, and you're like, she's broken in Living Legend or something. And I'm like, yeah, that's fair. And LSS agreed. She's gone from Living Legend now, or Aetherbeam's gone. Verdant is legal still, but I don't know if you would play her.
Yeah, what was the exact date? I think it was September 12th. Let me check. Yes, September 12th. I played against a Verdant just randomly. I was just playing. It's like the first day that most of the cards were working online. And this random Verdant player on Talishar queued up. And they were like, oh, read the logs. And like they were like, I'm testing Living Legend. And like five people had left. But I was running my new deck. And I was like, well, sure, I'll play against whatever you're doing, Living Legend, Verdant. That's fine. The only difference between my Living Legend new deck and my regular deck is like three copies of Plunder Run. And it's like, okay, I can try this without Plunder Run. Let's see how this goes. And they proceeded to draw 14 cards on turn two. And I was like, this is insane. I can't believe this is the thing you could be doing in Flesh and Blood. And I immediately copied their deck list and I put broken ? And I sent it to everybody. And I was like, this is the most broken thing I've ever seen in Flesh and Blood. How is this okay? And then a couple of weeks later, maybe like the next week, Ellie on the sideboard was like, you don't even have the most broken. There's this thing you could do with fire breathing to just deal like 100 bajillion million damage combined with Thrive.
After you draw your entire deck.
Yeah. And I was like, no, that seems janky. And then it turns out it was actually really good, and attacking for 186 damage happened on stream. So it's gone.
Yeah. I think the Living Legend format will be in a much better spot. I honestly haven't really engaged the format, but I've been just keeping an eye on it. And Verdant seems very, very good. And if I had a Living Legend tournament to prepare for, I would just be trying to tune a Verdant's list, and I would not have actually even really looked at the other heroes. So fortunately, that's not the format that we're going to be playing at this Chicago, I guess, is the next Living Legend tournament that we'll be at. So I guess the calling day two of Worlds is also Living Legend, but or not the calling, the Battle Hardened day three.
Yeah, and it's part of the team format thing for the team cup or whatever, right?
Yeah. Bernie and Andrew are both prepping for that, and I guess that's part of why I've heard about Verdant as much as I have, because they're trying to figure out Or they were trying to figure out what other two decks to bring alongside Verdant.
Kano. And Acilio, probably. But now it's probably Kano, Acilio, and whatever else you want. Maybe still Verdant. Yeah. I don't know.
I don't know. I, again, haven't done much testing into it, but I would expect it to be not that Wizard dominated. Shock Charmer is still very good against Wizard. There's a lot of heroes who can play Shock Charmers now.
We'll see. Remember all those tomes they banned? And then they still have those tomes, and they still have
What about Prism?
Aether Tide or whatever. And so there's even more cards. I don't know. We'll see.
Prism's also been historically quite good against the Wizards. And Prism, true, very legal in Living Legend, as every hero is.
Yeah, I guess we'll see.
Yep.
But we don't have to worry about it. That's the one format that we don't actually have to prep you and I.
I don't have to prep Blitz either.
That's not a real format.
Commoner?
That's a real format.
But we don't have to prep it.
Yeah, we don't. But all right, we do have to prep for Living Legend, and we do have to prep for Draft. And I've done, I think, two more drafts, which puts me at like a grand total of 6 drafts so far.
Okay.
And I think I've gone 0-4 in my last 2 drafts I've done.
That's not great.
No, it's not great.
What's going wrong? What's happening in your drafts?
Either my opponents explode me very quickly on first cycle, or they gain 30 life and then I die in like 15th cycle because they've gained 20 life. And I can't find the happy medium that lines up well into either of those, I guess. Or I guess I need to be trying to explode more or gain more life. I need to stop going to the Michael Hamilton of 3 for 7 schools. I don't think that's actually super good, because that's basically what I've been doing. I've been like, oh, this is a 3 for 7. Oh, this is like a 3 for 8. Oh, this is like a 3 for 7. I'll just take a lot of those early. And then I take like a good base of blues that block 3. It's basically like we did a walkthrough draft. You know, we put it up on our Patreon a few weeks ago, and I've been following that kind of like draft archetype over my last 2 drafts, and I just get clowned like over like the more synergistic decks.
Yeah, I think one thing that's noteworthy is Finals is reasonably better than just like any old 3 for 7. I don't think Red, sure, Finals Fighting Spirit. It's more like a 3 for 8 most of the time, because you, okay, take some damage when you play it. I think the other 3 for 7s are, it includes those. Worse. But I do think Finals and Cadaverous Tilling and Autumn's Touch are all just like very, very, very good cards you should be picking. Probably red all pretty close to first pick, unless there's something like really, really strong in the pack. I think that some of the other 3 for 7 types of cards, like I think it's Tongue Tied is the one that the rare that reveals your arsenal if it's an instant, it destroys it, I think. And then there's the there's the Majestic that's like the same thing but breaks an aura when it hits, I think is like also,
yeah, okay. I just had it in my last draft deck. Let me see, cut through the facade.
But all the 3 block 3 for 7s, I'm very happy with, like Vantage Point, Splittering Deadwood. Those cards are very, very good.
Yes, yeah, so my last draft deck had 2 red Vantage Points, 1 red Splittering Deadwood, Cut Through the Facade, and a Tongue Tied.
Were you Florian or Aurora?
I was Aurora. I had a Burn Up Shock. I don't know. I felt like this deck was good and couldn't win the game. So I don't.
Yeah, that is weird. I do think that a lot of the reason to be Aurora is maximizing your weapon. And if you're not like making good use of Starfall, you'd probably be better off making a Florian deck, because Aurora's ability and weapon both don't do anything unless you're playing Earth cards or Lightning, sure, cards.
But that kind of leads to kind of some awkwardness, right? Because if I start off taking these 3 cost beefy attacks, you're right, they don't play particularly well with Starfall, but then those basically pseudo become Florian cards then, because if the Earth, because that's what happened. I started taking these 3 for 7s. Earth was not open. Lightning was super open. So I got these beefy attacks and Lightning cards, and that's the deck I made.
Yeah, I think if you have the Lightning cards, if you have good Lightning cards, the 3 for 7s are fine. You just like also need the good Lightning cards.
Yeah, I had Burn Up Shocks. I had some red Second Strikes. I had some Flittering Charges. And with the beefy attacks, I had a yellow, blue Electromagnetic Somersault so that I could pick them, ooh, back up.
That's sick. I want to do that in Constructed. I don't know if it's good, but I want to try it.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe it's just, maybe I'm just not good at like actually playing the games.
That's possible. I remember you said that with the deck we drafted together, you lost your first round, but you said that you made a couple mistakes.
No, I won my first round. I lost my second round.
Okay.
Yeah, that was three drafts ago. So I'm 1-5 in my last three drafts, technically.
Okay. Was that the round you lost, you thought you would win if you played better? Am I remembering?
I miss-sideboarded. I basically played against an Averdance. And I forgot to – I didn't bring in, like, my Arcane Polarity, like, my Arcane Damage hate cards, basically.
Yeah. Okay. Arcane Polarity is very good against Averdance. Mm-hmm. I see how that could go. Not great. But
yeah.
I think another thing that is pretty important in the format is if your opponent says, I'm just going to do arcane damage to you, you need to be able to spend your hand. So while I do love the 3-for-7s and I'm going to keep picking them highly, I also just want the rest of my deck to be things that I can do before using the 3-for-7. Either something that gains life because it's in an instant, or something like Go Again that I can play out first.
Yeah, like some kind of lightning card or something like that.
Yeah, and I think for that reason, I don't actually love Second Strike, because Second Strike is like a card that's only good when things are already going well.
Sure.
No, you can have Second Strikes in your deck. It's still a fine card, but a lot of the time it's just, if you have a Second Strike and a 3-for-7, it doesn't do anything. The hand doesn't combo. Unless you have an Embodiment of Lightning, then you can play it 3-for-7, then you can play it Second Strike, but it's hard to rely on that.
Indeed it is. I don't know. Hopefully I figure it out before Osaka. And if not, I could play Ira in the Calling. That'd be sweet.
That would be sweet. I think Ira is very cool. I expect that going, that blocking with cards and going dagger into CNC for 7, or Kodachi into CNC for 7 is still going to be pretty strong in Constructed, or Classic Constructed. I say still, but I think it will be quite strong in Classic Constructed. Weakest Link, CNC, good cards. You also get your Flick Flacks and some combo blues, just block a lot.
Doesn't matter all that much, good. I guess. Like, people still have Fridges.
Yeah, but it just taxes their Fridge. Like, I think Ira will tax Fridges better, and you also get to play Mask Momentum and do the defensive dagger into thing, then threaten Mask, which I think is pretty good. We'll see. I don't know exactly what Ira will look like. I haven't spent any time testing her. She's not legal for Worlds, so there's no point for me. Not no point, but my time is better prioritized elsewhere. And after Worlds, I am very interested in working on it, because defensive ninjas are something that I haven't gotten to experience in my time playing Flesh and Blood, except in Limited. Which is just taking the 3 blocks.
If you had to put Ira blindly on our tier list last week, where would you have put her?
Her like high B tier.
I put her somewhere in C tier.
Okay. I think the guaranteed 1 point of value every turn, as long as you do 2 things, and I think is enough that I would expect her to be pretty good. I also think that,
you know who else gets a guaranteed 1 point of value as long as you do 2 things every turn?
Who?
Valiant Dynamo Warriors.
Yeah. I think the problem with that is when you're attacking with 2 weapons, it's a lot harder to throw disruption. Whereas Ira can drag the game out by throwing disruption, I think. Or I expect, I guess. Because you get to play CNC, you get to play Weakest Link, you can play Erase Face if you want. And going dagger into that every turn after blocking 4.
You only get 3 copies of Command and Conquer. What if Erase Facer and CNC aren't, or sorry, Erase Facer or Weakest Link aren't relevant?
Like, they're both bad in the matchup?
Yeah.
What aggro deck are both Erase Face and Weakest Link bad against?
I don't know. That's a good point.
and against like the slower, more mid-rangey and control decks, you don't need disruption as much. The Ape's just naturally going to go longer because they're not trying to use 5 cards to deal 25 damage or whatever.
Okay, I guess we'll see.
Yeah, I'm not like super positive that Ira will be great. Like I said, high B tier. I don't think she's insane, but I think that there's room to work on it. And I think that just throwing Kodachis into disruption with Ira's hero ability should be pretty good.
Fair enough. So are you working on more Enigma? Are you going to refine Pablo's list for Worlds? Is that who you're most interested in? Are you going to keep that under wraps?
No, I'm I am happy to share what I am working on. So after Pablo won, I took his exact list and played a few games with it. And I'm like, I hate like six of the cards in this deck. So I swapped them back to cards I like and played a little bit more since then. I've started doing testing every morning for a few hours. And yesterday's actually the only day that I did CC testing. Today, it's Tuesday when I'm recording this. So today I focused on limited, but yesterday I played a bunch of Enigma games and I think the hero's good. It's maybe it should have been a little higher than middle of B tier, but you know, what can you do? I think that I'm pretty worried about its matchups into the aggressive decks. Aurora, Viscerai, and Dio especially, I think are pretty rough. And then I think the KO matchup is also not great in my opinion, though KO is more liable to bricky hands than some of those other heroes. He also has a much better fridge than some of those heroes, so it's a lot harder to go like Mirror Guy into CNC or Mirror Guy into Weakest Link to disrupt them. And I think that is what you want to be doing with Enigma. You want to use your hat, play a big Mirror Guy, attack with it for 8, and then attack with CNC or Weakest Link. And KO not only can just flush bag the Mirror Guy attack to stop you from playing the CNC or Weakest Link, which is really annoying, he also just has a fridge to cover it up and then play out a big hand back and just pretty easily clear your Mirror Guy. And sometimes they just reckless swing you too, which is a nightmare. So I don't know. I think that Pablo is a very, very good player. I think that Enigma's dominance at that tournament, I think there were like 3 Enigmas in the top 8.
4. There's
4 Enigmas in the top 8. There was a lot of Enigma. I do think a big part of that is also untuned lists. Like untuned lists are just going to be much softer to Enigma than Toon List. And also everyone is going crazy about Count Your Blessings, which Enigma's like, yes, please spend 2 cards to gain some life.
Well, I mean, like Enigma was playing the Count Your Blessings for a good portion of them, right?
I think, I don't know how many of them were playing Count Your Blessings. I know the list that won Pablo's was not. And
yeah,
Pablo
the good, was super the good list, because Pablo's very smart and handsome and talented at card games. He did not put Count Your Blessings in his list. Let's see here. I don't see any of them have Count Your Blessings in it.
Oh, maybe I was mistaken. I really thought one in the top 8 had Count Your Blessings in it.
I have Pablo, Jacob Clements. No, Count Your... Oh, no, 3... No, sorry, this one's a Count Your Blessings deck. I didn't see it.
Okay.
This
so one of the 4 had Count Your Blessings?
Yeah, this one has 10,000 Year Reunion in it.
Pablo's had 10K.
And this one has Pummel in it. But so, yes, one of the 4 has Count Your Blessings and immediately lost. No, that's not true. It got 3rd. So I won the first round and then lost.
Okay. Yeah, playing Count Your Blessings Enigma against Enigma with attack actions or something instead of Count Your Blessings seems, again, very, very challenging, because Count Your Blessings doesn't seem particularly synergistic with what Enigma is doing to me. I don't actually understand the purpose of that.
Take your deck that's full of instants that don't block and put more instants that don't block in it. Boom. It's a perfect synergy.
Blue Count Your Blessings enables Transcend.
That is true. And it doesn't take your action point, you know?
Yeah. Yep.
There's hard to find all in here. More blue cards that don't block. That's what we need. Perfect.
Yeah, but I think, again, I don't really love Count Your Blessings Enigma. I haven't tried it, but in theory, it doesn't make sense to me. And for me to try a list, I have to at least get what it's going for. And then Pablo's list, a few cards I don't like. I don't like 10K very much. I don't like Moon Chakra. I don't like that he's not playing Pathwell Traveled, because I love going just levels of Enlightenment, Pathwell Traveled to activate Enigma and get all 3 modes basically, because Pathwell Traveled gives go again. I think that's just like a really powerful interaction. And even if you don't have very many Pathwell Traveled targets in your deck, I think that is worth including for that reason. It's much more awkward with cards like Moon Chakra, where there was one copy in Pablo's list where you want to use your Transcend card on their turn and Moon Chakra in the same turn so that you can prevent 3 damage. And if your Transcend card is Pathwell Traveled in that spot, it's pretty awkward. But I think the upside of Pathwell Traveled is worth including despite those concerns, I guess.
What about Truce? Are you a truther?
No, I'm not. I think that it is better in some matchups than its alternatives, but I've always liked Enigma Chimera as my 2-cost finisher. I almost always would rather attack my opponent for 6 and put a Truce into play.
That's fair.
6 is a lot. And they can pop it sometimes, but like if they pop it, it's trading for a card, and like Truce's Ceiling is trading for a card, and maybe it's protecting your ward stuff. But if your opponent has a Pauper for Enigma Chimera, that's one less card they're using on offense to clear your ward. So I think it's like kind of similar to Truce in that spot. And if they don't pop it, they take six. Whereas Truce, if they don't pop it, it gives you a card, and there's gonna be some spots where that's like not that good. I also think that Enigma Chimera gives you a ton of equity against Kano, because just Truce has no text against Kano, and Enigma Chimera is a 2 for 6, which is very good at killing them. And I do think Enigma is slightly favored in the Kano matchup. It's definitely not free or amazing or anything. And like part of the reason that I think Enigma is favored against Kano is because I'm playing like things like Second Tenet of Chi, Wind, and Enigma Chimera instead of Truces.
Yeah, that's fair.
Makes your Bolton matchup worse, though. I know you love Bolton.
Yeah. Real quick, are you like playing with poker chips or something?
Yeah.
It's been picking up.
Shoot. Okay.
Yeah, I don't know how that Bolton went on the run that they did by playing against the Enigmas. I was like, maybe there's hope. I beat Enigma on the league that means nothing. And then they beat up a bunch of Enigmas. And I then played a couple games of Enigma v dedicated Raiden Bolton, because that's the way you want to approach the matchup. It could be the aggro deck, and promptly got thrashed. It just, the games were not close. I felt silly for showing up, and I just died horribly to just auras and cards that blocked my things that I was doing very well. So then I was like, I don't think I'm going to be working on Bolton anymore. So putting that deck down.
Yeah, I think one thing that can really skew data is the people you're playing against. I know that in the past, we've had spots where you're like, man, Bolton seems so good into Dromai. And I'm like, I don't think Bolton's very good into Dromai. Let me play Dromai into you. And then you're like, that's just Michael. That doesn't mean Bolton's bad into Dromai. But I think that a lot of the time when people tell me they're like super favored in a matchup, I am very hesitant to believe it, because I think a lot of the time, if you just know the matchup better than your opponents, or you're more experienced or a better player than them, then it's going to feel like you're just winning the matchup, but that doesn't necessarily mean you're favored against their hero. It just means like you're winning against the people that are playing that hero that you're testing against. And that could all be different at Worlds. So like, I think that matchup data is less useful than making sure your plan is really solid into what the hero can do to you, basically.
Yeah. And to that end, I guess it hasn't been all doom and gloom. It hasn't been all yips over here, because I was playing against Travis yesterday on Enigma v New. And I won. I beat Enigma on New. I think I...
That's new.
I know. Like, I think we played two games. I think I went 1-1. I think I lost the first one, but then won the second one pretty convincingly. And to your point, I basically started pacing things a lot differently, playing around things at different times, made sure that I was prioritizing like having go again attacks in Arsenal 4 once he did develop, that I was able to start going wide again, and just playing that matchup a lot differently than I had in the past. And I think it went a long way. And so if that matchup at all seems reasonable, I could see myself feeling at least confident for Classic Constructed again with New. I do like me some New. I like that deck a lot. And I think it's very powerful.
Yeah, I agree. I think New is pretty good. I think she's probably fine into most of the aggro decks. I think Viscerai might be a little bit tough, but I would expect the others to all be fine, like Dio and KO both.
Why would you expect Viscerai to be tough?
Viscerai blocks really well. His blues don't do anything for you. And
in isolation, they don't. Those
very good numbers.
But once you banish multiples, they do.
If you banish, like, Become the Arknight and Rune Rager Swarm, blue.
And the Dominion card that you think is unplayable. Or I guess even if you just...
Yeah. Machinations doesn't do anything because you won't have created an aura.
That's not true. one of the, you can get some things that make auras and things like that.
At blue?
Yeah. Well, no, your deck makes auras. You can do play a codex and stuff.
Okay, that's true. That's true. You activate new, and then you play Codex of Frailty, and then your Rune Raider Swarm blue is turned on, and your Machinations is turned on, and then you.
This is you're describing a real endgame I played against Eviscerat the other day. Like, for what it's worth, I don't think the matchup's great, but I also don't think it's that bad either. I think he's pretty soft to Siren's Call, because if you just Siren's Call his one blue out of his hand, his whole turn falls apart a lot of the time. He's still sometimes just Viscerize, like. Sometimes he's just like, oh, oops, I don't have a functional turn, go. And you're like, oh, cool. I will now use my hand to just ruin your next hand and your turn cycle. So I think the scariest thing that can happen is if, like, he just like really hums and like has good Revel and Rue Blood turns. That's like when it becomes the most like overwhelming. But I wouldn't assume it to be a particularly bad matchup. I'm playing a lot of blues. My disruption can line up against him. He's another deck that does not like being hit by the disruptive effects that new presents. Like, and I'm also still playing things like Erase Face and Command and Conquer. So, yeah,
some Viscerai versus new sometime soon.
I'm down for that.
I think Viscerai is on the list of heroes I could see myself registering at Worlds. So.
Yeah, and the other thing that I did is I refixed my deck. I was playing Venomous Bites for a while, and then I started losing a bunch.
Uh-huh.
I took Venomous Bites, and my win rate started going up again. I was like, this is crazy. You take out the cards that just brick your turn sometimes, and your deck actually functions more often. Crazy. What a concept. What a novel way to approach the game, where you just play cards that work.
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, those were the good days. In Icelander, I felt like we could just play cards that work. And now every deck I play, it just feels like there's some clunkers, no matter what cards I put in. I don't know how to fix it. Like Truce, that's a clunker.
Why not? I've been saying this for like 6 months, but you just refuse to ever even think about playing new with me.
Maybe. I think new could be okay.
Fair enough. So we got Enigma, we got new. We talked about KO a little bit. I can also see myself learning Kano. Do you think I could learn Kano well in 3 weeks? At least it's just the goldfish deck, right? I could just sit down and just do the thing over and over.
Yeah, it depends how much time you're willing to devote to it. Every time I try to pick up Kano, I play him for like 3 or 4 hours. Feel like I have no idea what I'm doing and then stop and I try again in 6 months. And it's happened like since I started playing Flesh and Blood.
I could watch like a couple Majin Bay videos. And a couple of times a peak Budensek played on stream and goldfish a bunch and watch the Kano v Kano mirror that happened in the Battle Hardened 2 weeks ago more. And if I just do that for 24 hours straight on the flight to Osaka, I'd have to be a Kano master.
You gotta sleep on that flight, right? 24 hours.
Who sleeps on an airplane? Is that even possible?
Yeah.
How? You get like those cushy.
You get your little cushy neck pillow. You crank your neck on it. You put on a sleep mask. You take some melatonin, and then you're good.
No. You do the opposite. You order take a Red caffeine. Bull, and then you order another Red Bull, and then you order another Red Bull, and then you order another Red Bull, and then you're a Kano master by the time you land in.
That is one thing you could do. Not what I would recommend, but it is.
I have to become a law school master by the end of my flights. That's really what I plan.
Okay.
Studying a bunch of law school materials.
So, jumping topic a little bit, after the calling, the limited calling, the Rosetta pre-release and premiere in Tampa, at that event, I was like, I'm not going to play Acilio in draft. I do not know how to play Acilio. This guy's too hard. I did one practice draft with Acilio and had the most horrible deck I'd ever seen. Went 0-2 and then went home, or not home, to my hotel and slept. I decided that was Saturday night. Locked in not playing Acilio on Sunday. I did 2 Acilio drafts this morning. I was like, I really want to figure out Acilio before Worlds. And Well, I wouldn't say that I feel great about playing Acilio. I did learn a few things.
Was it you take the lightning going and attacks, you play, you actually have to put the sigils that you hate so much. You actually have to put those in your deck. You play the sigil, you get like free amp for three, and then you play like a zap.
The only sigils I played were the lightning ones, or the, I guess there's three different lightning ones, but I had the Majestic in one of my drafts, and both drafts had at least one sigil of lightning. The one without the Majestic had two sigils of lightning.
Sure, you so play like three to four sigils, right?
But both my decks had two sigils total.
Okay.
And I don't actually think you need the sigils. I think if you just have lightning attacks with Goigan, then you're chilling. So Lightning Surge is my favorite. I think Red Lightning Surge is the best lightning common. It's just so good, so reliable. And then Flittering Charge and the Electrostatic Discharge both work pretty well. Lightning cards that have go again. And I think just like trying to combine those and then use the wand and then zap them, it just worked pretty well.
That's fair. Yeah. Did you face against heroes that gained a lot of life though? That's kind of like been my big concern about him.
Yeah, I did. I think the thing about the heroes that gain a lot of life, so Verdance and Florian specifically, is their life gain cards don't block very well. So if you go Red Lightning Surge, and then let's say it hits hypothetically, and then you go Second Strike, and then you do the amp thing, then you're going to leak a lot of physical damage against them because they don't block. And then if they gain life afterwards, it doesn't matter that much. You just like kind of have to be trying to play above rate. If your game plan is just block with three cards and zap them for three, then you're going to get crushed by the life gain. But if you're just like hitting them and then zapping them, then the life gain doesn't matter as much.
Okay, that makes sense.
But yeah, I still don't feel great about drafting Acilio. I think that a lot of things went really well for me in those drafts. Both, or one draft I had the Sigil of Brilliance, which is very, very powerful Majestic that is usually a lot better than the Sigil of Lightning. And Sigil of Lightning is already quite good in Acilio. And I think I had five Lightning Surges in one of my decks. It's two reds and three yellows. And Yellow Lightning Surge, not amazing, but it's still quite good. If you Arsenal, it's like a red fry. And then it also can pitch to play, like, if you do like a lightning attack into, and then you have this Yellow Lightning Surge, you can pitch it to amp with your wand and then shoot a 1-for-4 at them, a 1-for-4 arcane spell. And that's a pretty good turn. And just having pretty strong yellows is solid. I also realized that Yellow Fry is also pretty good because you attack with your Yellow Fry and then they have to block it for two, and then it's also going to pump your spell for one. And it's also a pretty good resource card as well.
True. Yeah, I need to figure out how to draft any of the heroes, really. I think specifically, I think total, I've played Florian once still. Oh. I've never had a lot of Florian open around me. It's just usually Earth is usually more drafted than Lightning, so I've had way more Lightning drafts than Earth. And of the times that Earth has been open, Wizard has then been way more open or like available to me than Runeblade, so it makes sense that Florian comes together for me the least.
Yeah, it's actually like Florian's really weird because I feel like you don't actually want Runeblade cards for the most part. You just want cards that say block three on them. And most of the Runeblade cards are like they have very little text and they just block three most of the time or pitch. And it's kind of weird. I like the 3-for-7s a lot because they block three and they're 3-for-7s, which is great. But yeah, that's been kind of my experience playing Florian, is like you're a pile of Earth cards and three blocks.
Yeah. We'll see. I'll have time. I'll figure it out. How hard can drafting be?
Yeah. One thing I really like about Florian is the auras that pay for your, or that the one cost Earth auras. If you pitch a blue and play, let's say a Red Harvest Season, which I think most people are pretty caught on that this card is quite good now. If you pitch a blue and play Harvest Season attack with Rotwood Reaper, you're getting 4 value on offense and then the 3 life gain. So you're getting a 3-for-7 out of this just red do nothing thing. And then on times where your opponent spends, or they block with like 2 or 3 cards and zap you, if you have a Red Harvest Season and a 3-for-7, then you can pitch a card, play Harvest Season and play the 3-for-7, and you can spend your whole hand. So not only is it a 3-for-7, as a two card play, it also lets you like spend more of your hand on turns where your opponent doesn't give you the opportunity to block. So I think that strong yield as well, but Harvest Season especially is quite good. And I'm very happy to pick up the Earth Auras and Florian.
Yeah. Okay. We'll just have to do some more backseat drafts gameplay together before then to make sure I'm not going to embarrass myself in Osaka. But hey, if I did, it would be the first major event I embarrassed myself at. It is going to be the first time I've ever playing in a Worlds, though.
Yeah, that's true. You've missed both Worlds so far, huh?
Mm-hmm. Because the first one, I was kind of burnt out. Second one, I was life burnt out. And then here I am for the third one, ready and raring to go for Osaka, even though I'm bad at the game. But you know what?
Ready to go and want to refund your PTI purchase.
Competing's hard. Competing at card games is very, very difficult. Did you know that?
Yeah, I did. I feel very, very low confidence towards this Worlds. I still really don't know what CC deck I'm playing. It's between like 10 different heroes, and I just want to play Somersault Control instead of do something useful.
Yeah.
Instead of practicing real decks, I was hiking today, and I'm just like, man, Somersault and Acilia, you can discard it if you don't have the attacks. You can block with two attacks and somersault them back. I think it's trash, but I'm going to try it anyway instead of do productive testing. And yeah, card games are hard. I agree.
I'm going to go off on a little life tangent real quick. Hit me. Now that we're 40 minutes into this podcast.
Hit me.
They always say, like, surround yourself with people who are smarter than you and surround yourself with people who are really talented and good at things. And that's true. You do learn a lot from people who are smarter than you and really talented at things. But it's not always the best for your ego, right? Because I would consider myself, like, I know objectively, like, in my mind, like, if you took me and just a random person off the street and just were like, you play a game, like, any game, I'm probably going to be better than that person at a game. But when you surround yourself and try to go to like the actual like 1.001% percentile best at a game, it's so easy to feel like you're just garbage. Like, like even though objectively you're not. Like I'm only in the 95th percentile of card gamers, but oh man, that extra 5% makes me feel like I'm not there. I don't know. Do you get what I'm saying at all?
Yeah, I do.
I know you never feel that way because you are in the 0.00001% of card gamers. So you'd have to be like around some super genius mega computers in order to feel inadequate. But
no, I still feel that way because like a lot of the time I'm like, I should have my pitch deck memorized and like tournament games. And I don't, I can't remember what's coming up. And I'm like, a better player would know this right now. And it could make the difference between winning and losing the game. And that situations like that happen a lot. Remembering all your pitch deck stuff is hard when you're trying to do Wounded Bull math. And I think that there's always room to improve, and it's much better to compare yourself to who you were a week or a year or a month ago than it is to compare yourself to random other people that are doing things. Because all you like, the scale is always moving when you're comparing yourself to other people. But when you're comparing yourself to other versions of yourself, it's a lot easier to like see your improvement and just feel good about the progress you're making.
Have I made progress?
I hope so.
I don't know.
I haven't been watching you and calculating everything. It's like, oh, Roger doesn't know this. Like, I just tell you if there's something that you don't. That I see that you don't know.
But I don't know what I don't know. That's how I don't know it. If I know what I didn't know, I would know it, right?
But like at some point, you know something that you didn't know like a year ago, right? You're like, oh, I learned this thing.
Well, yeah, it's called learning.
Yeah, learning. Exactly. That means you're better than you were before you learned that thing. Like, there was a time when you thought Venomous Bite was okay to put in your new deck. And you've improved since then.
Sure. I could get into a whole philosophical quandary that not all learning is good, but.
Sure, you can learn the wrong. You can learn the wrong lessons, but.
Okay. I'm off our philosophical off the rails tangent. Okay. Got any final topics before we wrap things up then?
Talked about every limited hero, right? Briefly at least.
Mm-hmm.
Talked about constructed. Dio still seems very good. When I saw ban announcement, I'm like, are they touching Dio? That's weird. Why is there an emergency ban? And then I said Kraken's Aether Rings ban. I'm like, oh, that makes sense.
Oh, ProQuest. Are you ProQuest? I guess you're only doing a draft ProQuest, or are you doing any?
Actually, I've got a plan for ProQuest season. So.
Okay.
I am doing a draft ProQuest. It's the only one in Indiana, I believe. It's like an hour away from us. And I think it's
in Anderson. It's on the 19th. I'm going to that one.
Yeah. And then the weekend after that, I am pulling a Brody Spurlock and flying to New Jersey to do two ProQuests with I'm staying with Michael Fung, and Brody's also going to be there. And we're going to go play a couple ProQuests in New Jersey and do a little testing house week thing. So I'm actually getting three ProQuests this season. I think that's the most I've ever played in a season before.
Yeah. I think I've decided that, assuming that I feel better, as long as my health continues to improve on the pace that it has over the past day, and I feel better by the time Sunday rolls around, I think I want to go to a classic constructed one in Louisville on Sunday, and then I'll do one classic constructed and one draft.
Okay. I will be competing in an Alpha Clash tournament this weekend, so I cannot.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I'd go show up and maybe carpool with you and play some. I don't know what I'd play.
I'm probably going
to play KO. Probably KO or Enigma. I have those with me.
Yeah.
Put together mostly.
I have my new deck right here. I think it's the exact same 80 that I played whenever the last time I played new was.
Nationals?
Maybe. I need to swap out this. I know I have, this is a nice, just normal Japanese one, but didn't we pull the super fancy extended art Marvel one of these? I think I have one of those laying around here, so I need to make that upgrade in this deck. Okay. I think I have a Frappa Claire still, and I can swap.
A what?
Frappy Claire. You don't know what Frappy Claires are? Let me see if I can find my Frappy Claire. It's a very delicious card. I have my Kungman et Kongkets.
Yes, yes. All right, I'm sure everyone stopped listening at this
point. Hold on, I gotta find my Frappy Claire. We're ending on Frappy Claire.
I think I am about as interested in these cards you have as our audio-only listeners that can't see them anyway.
I can't find my Frappy Claire. It's an Enlightened Strike. Enlightened Strike in French is Frappy Claire. Okay. But we just pulled an Enlightened Strike over the weekend, playing our Welcome to Wraith Team Sealed pools.
Oh, yeah, that was fun. I liked that, getting to play some Welcome to Wraith Limited. Though, in hindsight, maybe we should have played Rosetta Limited, but Welcome to Wraith was really fun. So
yeah, but who's going to have a whole case of what Rosetta just laying around that they could have used to play limited games with?
You have a case of Rosetta, don't you?
I opened it.
What? Why? We could have used that.
I open it with my wife. It's how we open a case of every new set together. That's what we do.
Okay. Okay. I cannot complain. I also am not providing any Rosetta packs. So.
Yeah.
Would have been fun though. Would have been probably slightly more helpful. But Ogre Wraith Limited was really fun too.
It was fun. Well, on that note. Next time you're playing Welcome to Wraith Limited, always remember, mind your manners. Thanks for watching.